Okay, here's hour number two for you. Back with us tonight is Dr. Bill Deagle to bring us up to date on a number of things. He is following almost as many threads as a human being can follow, like I am. We're trying to keep you folks up to date on it. Fukushima continues to spew bad news. Worse and worse and worse. Cesium-137 up 7,500% in one test well in just 1 week. And that shows that the water going into the Pacific is getting worse and worse. Hundreds, thousands, millions, billions. 13 billions more neutrons released from Fukushima than ever projected by the lying TEPCO. 13 billion more neutrons. I mean, it just goes on everywhere you look. Read the stories at the top of the page. You'll understand. Mass die-off seen in birds, fish, continuing to get worse and worse and worse. This all goes back to the Japan state secrets law, which has pretty well dried up most of our information from the inside. Very little things going on. Even ENE News published one story in 7 days. That's how much of a paucity of information there is coming out of Japan. Hello, Bill. Welcome back. Glad to hear you on the program again.
There's an awful lot of issues going on. Today we had Chris Harris, our nuclear expert. That is his radio name. That's his real name.
Sure.
And, you know, we followed the story that you have posted up on your site, and we got into some of the details of it, and it's so shocking that even if you're sitting down, you'll fall down. I mean, I don't think people understand, and I've made a statement just so kind of to put a date on it. I said, you know, that between 2014, now 2015, and 2050, that Fukushima is an extinction level event. Now, when I put that date, I'm just being facetious because it could be 2030, it could be 2040, I don't know. All we do know is that the level of radiation is killing everything in the Pacific Ocean, and the Pacific Ocean is linked with every other ocean with transoceanic currents along the coastal region. So it only takes 26 months to transit the entire planet. We know there's also equatorial currents that carry high-speed water and radioisotopes from the northern to the southern hemisphere, equivalent to 300 times the Amazon rainforest every day. We know there's big surges of radiation that hit the west coast of Australia and New Zealand that have in the past happened in the last 3 years. And this level of radiation is an extinction level event just by itself. We're not even talking about, you know, nuclear war or plagues or coronal mass ejections or the things going on in the sun now, which are really unusual, like there are coronal holes that are occurring in the sun. What people should understand is there's a number of converging events, but just by itself, Fukushima Daiichi, the thing screaming out at us is that there's not even a dialogue to discuss what they could do to stop it. And, of course, there's not even a discussion as to why all of a sudden there's a massive surge, whether it's an underground surge from the aquifer that burst into the ocean, or whether they just opened containers and let them rip. Or there was a catastrophic rupture of containers on the site.
Yep.
We don't have any news coming out at all. It's a news blackout. And in fact, if you try to release news in the local area, you go to prison in Japan. It's also, remember, people should understand TEPCO is only an umbrella company. All of the companies that service TEPCO are U.S. subsidiaries and affiliates. In fact, one of the same companies that services TEPCO, that's one of the primaries, is the primary company that serviced the WEP reactor, the waste isolation pilot project in New Mexico that caused a catastrophic release of radioisotopes because they put in kitty litter and caused nuclear explosions to occur that contaminated a hydrofracking area that was literally making radioactive gas and oil wells in the area radioactive, literally affecting within a half a mile of the area. What's going on in America now is the rules have changed, but they've changed very, very little. But they've changed enough that there's at least five major reactors in the United States that are likely to go belly up. They've actually said we cannot comply with these minimalist rules, and therefore we're going under financially. And here in Southern California, San Onofre said, oh, don't worry, we got $4.4 billion in the bank to do it the next 20 years. And I said, I know which bank it is. It's my bank and your bank. It's anybody who's a ratepayer
Yeah.
It's not their bank, the bank of the corporation. It's the bank of us. So, and the thing that people don't understand, they're actually talking about burying the waste at the San Onofre reactor site, and the same with reactors all across America. They're not planning on putting it in special containers on rail cars that are specially designed, mm-hmm. moving it to a zinc or tin mine 5 or 7 miles down. No, no. There's no plan to actually make a new site like they did the one they talked about for years, which, of course, was stupid because it was on a fault zone in Nevada. What they're really talking about is burying it on site. And off of San Onofre, 5.5 to 5 miles off the site, is the San Jacinto upthrust zone. Now, the upthrust zone is what drove the tsunami mm-hmm. toward Japan, but that upthrust zone was 75 to 120 miles off the coast of Japan. This one is between San Onofre and the Catalina Islands. It's 5.5 miles off the coast. So you're literally talking about a tsunami zone where they're going to put nuclear waste that they've been storing for 60 years, and there's no intention of moving it. And they say they've got lots of money to quote, mothball the plant, which is also hogwash, because you can't turn these things off easily. You have to wind them down over years, and then you have to take all the isotopes and put them in a stable condition in special containers. And ideally, you want to move them off-site to a place where they'll never interact with water tables or any people again, or the danger of terrorists striking it, or just a natural disaster like a tsunami.
Mm-hmm.
So what I see happening is even the whitewash level, even the lowest minimalist level of increased regulation is going to make at least 5 major reactors financially go belly up, and they probably will not do a proper job of either mothballing the plants.
Wouldn't be surprised.
So what they're going to do is these plants will be in an unstable condition, just like people don't realize. They say, well, they didn't turn off.
They require constant maintenance forever.
Constant
people don't understand that.
Circulating water and staff and everybody. And these things, a lot of them, are quite hot, and especially the newer ones where they actually turn them into MOX reactors, which the U.S. government were doing because they wanted to create more plutonium for nuclear weapons. And that's why, for example, in Fukushima, people need to know the MOX reactor was an occult nuclear weapons plutonium detonator generating plant. You do not make a MOX reactor just because you're generating a little more power. You do it because you want to generate plutonium detonator pellets. That's why it was there.
Mm-hmm.
So sure. There's 7,500% plus increase, and I have the isotope information from Chris. And when I look at his data here, which shows that the huge radiation spike at Fukushima, multiple records set new workers. And, of course, he talked about cesium-134, 140 becquerels per liter, 7,500% above the January 5th level, record high. Cesium-137, 470 becquerels per liter. And by the way, becquerels are in liters, and it does have a per second kind of ratio there. So when Loren Murray was making statements about becquerels and didn't understand the per second, it already has a per mm-hmm. second ratio in it. So she didn't understand this.
Right.
The same way as Chris Busby makes statements about radiotoxicology when he has no medical training whatsoever in radiotoxicology, and he shouldn't open his mouth on it. I can, because I understand nuclear reactors, nuclear design, radiochemistry, and radiotoxicology, and was a member of the ACOM nuclear division for years. I took care of plants in Savannah River and their employees making plutonium detonators in Savannah, Georgia. I took care of plants close to Chicago and their employees. And I took care of Rocky Flats employees, including NOVA, that were doing hazmat site assessments on the plant. And they discovered, to their horror, that the radiation levels were hundreds of thousands to millions of times more elevated mm-hmm. when they did ground sampling and air sampling of mm-hmm. the site, even though they had a chain link fence around Rocky Flats, and they had people literally go out there hiking around the area. And when my boss found out that I knew that NOVA guys came in and I had to do an exit hazmat exam, I got fired, which is what happens to you when you find stuff that nobody else, especially the government, wants to know because it's a Superfund site. And they were doing evil things, saying all kinds of lies. Also, the cobalt-60, 1.9 becquerels per liter, quadruple from previous record in 2013. All beta emitters, which are high-speed electrons, 15,000 becquerels per liter, 6,000 times above the January 8, 2015 level, 1,300% above the previous record high. What I'm seeing here, and there's a thing I call the elbow effect. There's an elbow where you reach a level of toxic load, radioisotopes, stress, whatever you want to call it, that in any living thing reaches a point where the organism cannot maintain the more normal processes called continuation of life. Ability to reproduce, ability to eat and sustain their organism, ability to differentiate, and ability to rebuild the organism during a period of time, because you're constantly, every organism is constantly rebuilding itself. So the idea that if your stem cells aren't working, if your body can't rebuild the bone structure, the ligaments, the nerves, etc., it falls apart, just like these starfish. And I can't tell you when it'll reach a point, but when you see organisms like the higher in the food chain, the orca, Orcinus, the killer whales, where there's no babies beyond a year, when you see the seabirds along the Georgia Strait from Dana Durnford, completely dead, not just a little dead, but completely dead, not even insects.
No insects, no predatory birds, no bird flight. He saw one flock of birds so far.
And the problem is, you see, they want to assume that it's somehow contained. One of the doctors, actually Dr. Ron Klatz, came and visited me. He was on the show 2 days ago here at Radiant Studio. He was the founder of the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. He says, it's too bad you're living in Southern California. I said, no, look over at my desk over there. You can look at the cesium detector. We're basically not getting hit by radiation, hardly at all. Where it's going is hitting the British Columbia coastline area and a little bit toward, a little south toward Seattle, Washington. And then that Kuroshio current splits and goes north and south toward Alaska and down the coast. But most people don't realize there's a number of different what I call streams of radiation. There's the fast stream that's moving, that's constantly carrying new fresh radiation. There's a slow stream that's moving in deep waters of the ocean along the trenches. And then there's a high altitude stream that's probably between 26 to 30,000 feet, because my experience and the people who have emailed me and they've had radiation detector in commercial aircraft have told me it was only when they get up to around 26,000 feet where all of a sudden it spiked and they got massive surges of over 2,000 counts per minute. Now, I know some people will try to say on these Discovery Channel and so on, that that's a natural increase in radiation. No, it's not. All of a sudden, you go from, 100 or 200 counts or less, 50 counts to over 2,000. And then when you drop down just a little bit in altitude, all of a sudden it drops again. That's because there's a radiation belt there and there's a plume at that level. Now, it might spread out, but it actually can be relatively cohesive. And the problem is because we don't have data, we can actually create a three-dimensional or four-dimensional model of it. I asked 2.5 years ago Dr. Senator Wyden from Oregon and Senator Feinstein, and I talked to her staff and asked them for their nuclear expert, and they refused to put data logging radiation detectors in all the aircraft, but citizens could do it themselves and just upload and say, hey, I'm going to take a detector on the aircraft, I'm going to record that data over that flight, and then I'm going to download that to a database. So, for example, you could do it, Jeff, or I could do it. We could have people commercially just taking their Spectre Pluses and just clip it to their seat and record the data. Well, how many counts? What time is it? Where are you in your flight? And then if we knew the flight path of the airline, we could actually create a data plume map of exactly where the plumes are and where they're going and what velocity and what altitude. If we had real-time data like that, we'd also know when those plumes are going to hit an area where a weather system was going to cause it to fall as rain or snow. So like the radioactive snow that hit Missouri last year. The problem is when we don't have data, it's because they purposely shut it off, like they get rid of. And I confronted the so-called director of radiation under Dianne Feinstein. I said, well, you guys, when you took out the radiation detector, he said they're working perfectly fine. I said, well, really, you didn't put the one back in Idaho after it shot through the ceiling because the radiation level shot over the mountains there and went into orbit, and you guys shut off the reactor, the reactor detector from detecting radiation from Japan, and didn't put a new one in. And they didn't expand the number of detectors or say, hey, let's test water, fish, food, just like it was being tested at the University of California, Berkeley Nuclear Radiation Detection Program under Dr. Kai Vetter. After I contacted him over 2.5 years ago, they completely shut down and decided not to even talk to me or email and refused to do any testing on anything. And that's the same with any government department. The only people who have been doing testing are the native peoples of British Columbia, which tested and found radiation, and the fishermen in British Columbia and Alaska. Now, what I see coming is a catastrophic reduction in health. I can't tell you when it'll hit or who it'll hit first. It'll hit the weak and the elderly. It'll hit the unborn. It'll hit the people trying to have babies and worried about organogenesis when something's amplified 100 million times in utero. It's going to cause lots of diseases, like we know cesium-137 in animal models causes a catastrophic increase in breast cancer. It's a glandular excitotoxin, and what it does is it grabs every gland in the body because it's an analog of magnesium and potassium, and it's concentrated, and it's going to cause a very massive increase in cancer rates. But it's also going to cause cardiac arrhythmias, heart failure, atrial fibrillation, small for dates, lack of release of growth hormones like it is in Japan where these kids don't grow anymore, and you can measure their growth hormone and their growth velocity is down to zero or pretty close to it. So, I can make some predictions, but without data, it's only conjecture. And the problem is they don't want us to get data. So they won't even get a dialogue to say, we're going to disagree with you, Deagle, and we think you're a fool. Well, point out why I'm a fool and tell me technically why you can get a better plan. But when you do it that way, when you present it as a scientific dialogue, asking someone to please challenge it, but do it in a scientific and a valid non-hominem way, they don't want to do that. What they want to do is they want to just say you're nuts to ask the question rather than, hey, let's go do and test data and see if we can get a better hypothesis and a better thesis as to what's going on and how dangerous is this. But we're not getting any dialogue from anybody. Government, International Atomic Energy
No,
Agency,
we're not going to
United
either.
Nations. No. Nobody. You know, nobody's going to talk. And nobody's even going to disagree or even make anything other than, they're basically even silent. I mean, I even beg people on the show. I said, if you're a radiation expert, if you're a medical doctor, if you're a government agent, if you're anybody, disagree with me, call in. And not a one in almost 4 years now. Not a one. So what I see happening is what I call gutless evil. It's just disgusting. And people don't understand, Fukushima by itself without genetically modified food, which is also sterilizing us and destroying human biology, without fluoridated water, without stacked vaccines, without polypharmacy, which is also rampant, without all of these things, the human race is doomed. My prediction is, and this is, a Deagle prediction, that within a generation, more or less, human beings will not be able to reproduce except if they submit their gametes to a laboratory. The intelligence and IQ of individuals will be so dumbed down that they'll basically...
Oh, it's dropping like a rock.
Subhuman.
Dropping like a rock.
Subhuman robots, or what I call zombified.
Well, that'll give it... an easier road for AI to take over all this, what you're saying.
Right, and AI will take our artificial intelligence and upgraded humans and people, for example, I expect in Japan here in the next year or two of them to announce to say, hey, we realize that all you Japanese women can't have normal children, so we've set up a special program so you can submit your ovum and your gametes to your laboratory, and we'll make sure we do polar body exclusion to make sure you have a perfectly genetically normal child. And we'll even grow the child in a fetal laboratory for you if you don't want to grow it in your body using gamete intrafallopian tube transport. People say, Dr. Deagle, that's just sci-fi. I said, well, I'll give you an equipment list and show you exactly how you could do it. So when people say, you can't do that, Deagle, I said, well, you're talking to the wrong doctor. I have skill sets, let's put it that way. And what disturbs me is people don't realize whether we could do it is not the question, is whether we morally should do it, or whether you should tackle Fukushima Daiichi. And if I was watching from a galactic, 4D channel, the program Earth, uh-huh, I would say as a being in a foreign world, I would be telling all my children beings to look away. It's too gross. Look away. Don't turn on that channel.
Right.
It'll disturb you. You won't sleep tonight. You'll have nightmares. You'll see these beastly people committing a form of global genocide, autogenocide. You'll see people ignoring something cataclysmic and thinking everything is fine. In fact, the Japanese are so crazy, they say if you smile, the radiation will hurt you. They actually say that. And now, of course, they're planning the the Olympics and everything. I think, oh my gosh, this is like if you put a happy face on it, you're not going to get radioisotopes damaging your DNA like cosmic rays. So that's the Fukushima. Then on top of that, we've got ISIS, which we know, I call it terrorists are us. And I like the graphic that you have up on your website, which shows Mossad. We know that the town, source of Amman, Jordan, where ISIS was trained, supplied by American and Israeli and Academy, which is the Blackwater Security new name, trained there. And now we supply them with satellite phones and equipment and Stinger missiles and everything else. And they've gone from 50,000-man force to 200,000. And somehow the globalists think they can control these guys. At some point, the Israelis, who've been deeply involved with getting these guys going, they're not going to control these extreme Islamic maniacs. And Israel will have to resort to the Samson option, which is nukes and biological and chemical weapons. And we will have a cataclysmic nuclear, thermonuclear war involving Russia and China and everybody. You know, and people say, well, that won't happen. I said, all the controllers that keep telling each other, just like these meetings of the Bilderbergers, most of their marketing is to tell each other they're still in control when they don't control anything, including even their bowels, let alone the world. So I find it really hilarious when I get even feedback from people that are very wealthy, like billionaires, through various channels, that tell me that they're freaked out by the fact that the people with levers of power are very rich, but they're sociopsychopaths that are Satanists. And they really could give a rat's behind whether or not most people on Earth die, because their ultimate drug isn't just money and power. It's Megadeth. Not the heavy metal rock group. We're talking about Megadeth. They get off on seeing people die and nations die and human beings writhe in agony as they pass on to the next world. I mean, and people say, you're just exaggerating. I said, no, I'm not. I mean, the ultimate drug to these people is seeing others die in horror.
Got
and
it.
That's why Fukushima's left.
Yeah.
That's why our world is heading to economic cataclysm and the mark of the beast. That's why they want to get rid of 90% of the human race, because they just want to genetically engineer a subclass of, I called the troglodytes.
That's good. All right, hold on, Bill. We'll come right back in just a few minutes
as we continue. Bill, they don't want us around. We're too pesky. Ask questions and everything.
Okay, welcome back. Talking to Dr. Bill Deagle about all kinds of things. The world itself, when you look at the European situation, France, Ukraine, looks worse and worse. There were some very, very big stories today that did not make a whole lot of news, and they were extraordinarily important. I'm not quite sure why they didn't, but Europe is now in full-on energy crisis. This is from the Daily Mail in the UK. Russia has cut off gas supplies via Ukraine to Europe. Europe plunged into energy crisis as Russia cuts off gas supply via Ukraine. That's the headline. And I don't know why this isn't a bigger story. Maybe it's grown on some networks in the last couple of hours. I'm not sure. Gas prices are already risen in London. Bulgaria is reaching a crisis point already. Russia, in cutting its gas exports to Europe, has caused all manner of chaos in Europe. And I don't know what to tell you, Bill, but this is hardball. And Putin seems to be very, very clever at the way he's been playing this game.
Putin is actually, people should understand the pressures on Putin. And I'll just give a few what I call the drivers. If you want to think of it like a multi-part video game or space chess. Putin is not alone, okay? He has a number of hardliners that are much harder than Putin. He also has bankers that are Sabbatean Satanistic Jews. And these Sabbatean Satanistic Jews actually raised the interest rates internally in Russia in the sense to try to do an orange revolution inside. There's hardline Russians that are much more even patriotic than Putin, and Putin's pretty patriotic. they basically see this as the acts of Europe and America as acts of war.
Right.
And here in the West, we just don't grasp that. We don't grasp what the Russians think. They're trying to kill us. Now, remember, Putin and the Russians think that the Soviet Union never really ended. And in fact, I agree with them. I think that it was all scamtastic. We have the fall of the Berlin Wall.
They just shuffled the deck.
They shuffled the deck. As my friends that were working at Storage Tech when I was taking care of employees up there back in the mid-90s, he said, one of the Russian guys from Belarus, he said, we change hats. So, you know, if you look at all these republics, even some of them that have joined NATO, in fact, they always have their oligarchs and their people that are actually completely lined up with Russia. For example, the situation in Ukraine was all a Russian-mediated and sponsored and manipulated game. Now, the Europeans tried to get in there, and they put in $5 billion. But in fact, the Russians knew all along that these people in Ukraine were never going to go with Europe. Never. And the Russians were never going to let them go. And the Europeans weren't prepared to do military activities against the Russians in any way, shape, or form. So no matter what the Russians do, including arming to the teeth Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, which would be the next area I expect them to take over, or taking over Belarus or Moldova, which is also tilting toward Russia, I guarantee you that all the former Soviet republics are going to fall right back into Russians' hands probably in the next 2 to 5 years. And it's going to accelerate because of this game that they're playing. The Europeans have killed their business prospects with Russia. So now Russia says we're going to...
Oh, they've destroyed it. It's the biggest mass economic suicide I've seen in my lifetime.
It's the most stupid thing. It's like saying you want to lose your customers.
Exactly.
So Russia's buying fruit from Europe. So instead of buying fruit from Europe, and the European minister, foreign minister, called to call the Ecuadorians and say, don't sell fruit to these Russians. And the Ecuadorians said, we're not a member of Europe. We're not European members. We can
have you
sell
noticed we're in a different
have
hemisphere?
Yeah, we're not even in your hemisphere. So well, the Russians are laughing all the way to the bank because they're basically saying, yeah, you killed the ruble, but we can pull the gas lines. We can also arm to the teeth. And the thing is that the Europeans and Americans have not put Patriot 3 missile, have not put what's called a Minuteman 3 system in or a nuclear system to protect the Europeans from a nuclear first strike. So the Europeans are quivering in their boots because they know without America's military forces and, of course, Obama and the previous Bush administration, going back to Bush Sr., have systematically, and Bill Clinton, have systematically demilitarized our nuclear forces to protect us, which is why we have PDD-60. The Russians are fully aware. They don't comply with SALT 1, SALT 2, or SALT 3, but we do. You know why? Because the globalists want us disarmed, and the Russians are laughing, and they're thinking, what's wrong with these Americans? And they actually think, well, maybe we got a different weapon system that we won't even use nukes, which, by the way, we do. But we are willing to accept a first strike killing 100 million Americans because the globalists don't care. We don't have underground shelters like the Russians do by law. Every apartment building,
so do the Chinese.
Every home has to have a nuclear shelter from a first strike. We don't have anything in
they
America.
They have enough underground shelters around ringing Moscow to take all the residents of Moscow underground.
Right, all of them, even in the subway system. And when you go to Switzerland, it's the only other country where it's by law you cannot build a home unless you have an underground nuclear structure. You also have to have, every male has to, under age 65, have mortar, spend 2 weeks a year and 1 weekend a month training how to use military armaments and mortar in a military environment live, with live ammo. So we here in North America have been exposed to what I call selections, which is not elections at all. It's selections where the globalists say, well, we'll give you a leftist government now. We'll give you a right government, like a snake moving forward. But we're
exactly.
Not really going to be a government. And so the next step is they're going to crash the euro. The euro is about to drop so low that it's actually going to equal the dollar. A few years ago, the euro was like double the dollar. The Russian ruble, the Russians basically said, you know, we don't care. We're bartering now with the Chinese and these other nations to exchange goods, and they're buying up as much gold as possible, which is why now the gold price, despite all the manipulation of gold buying and selling contracts with derivatives and these quick sale contracts where they buy and sell gold with paper and never have to actually have it exchange hands, it doesn't matter. The people wanting physical gold, like the Chinese and the Russians, are buying it up like crazy, real physical gold, besides revving up their own mines. So what I see coming is what I call the end game. And it's a financial endgame, not a war endgame. The financial war endgame is this. The globalist bankers say, we're going to put all the cards on the table, and we want a cashless world system called the Mark of the Beast.
There it is. All right, hold on.
That's what's coming. And all of this wars in Ukraine and the stuff in the Middle East with ISIS is all theater as preparation for this
next
stage.
That's a side show. Sure.
It's all theater. The real issue is, are we going to force the BRICS nations to do what we want so we still have total absolute control of the world financial system? And the Russians and the Chinese and these Asian nations are catching on that this game that's being playing is real hardball.
Right.
Because most of the dollars in the world are denominated in U.S. dollars.
Okay, we got to run.
And there's so much leverage here that this situation is going to get very ugly this year. I think this is a full.
It is. I agree. Be right back. Yeah. Okay, here we are back with Bill and talking about a world, really an extraordinary upheaval. I've never seen anything quite like it. Again, most of the gas, all the gas going through Ukraine to Europe is now shut down, and they can end the rest of it real quick. I think you're watching Putin. Go ahead.
Three things happen in this year, and then I want to use this as a launching point for your questions and dialogue on it. The first is that I see an economic correction of at least 20% of the world economy, which is not 5 or 10%. We're talking about 20%, which is going to be very painful, meaning it's going to go from a recession, which it really hasn't been. It's kind of a flat recession depression to something very painful. We're going to see collapses of a lot of the middle class economy in Europe. And what I suspect is a lot of the BRICS nations that are now trying to kind of put a brave face on it, Russia, China, and these other countries that are trying to scramble to see if they can stand up against the globalists, I don't think they're going to make it. I think that I just talked to my friend, Dr. Ron Klatz, who was over for a couple months in Beijing, China. And if you get off the main drag streets three or four blocks, you've got chickens and dogs and cats hanging on strings. You've got people living like two centuries ago. Most people don't realize the pollution is just horrendous in most of the country. They're building factories to store stuff they can't even put in the market or put in containers to sell and ship over to us. China is on the verge of a collapse. At least half of their entire economy is based on loans. They're shark-type loans. Russia has no economy whatsoever other than oil and gas. And the other nations of the BRICS nations, for example, are completely dependent on the globalists deciding whether or not they're going to move factories there, whether it's Kerala, India, or Malaysia, or elsewhere. So if those transnational corporations who are primarily American or British-based decide to move somewhere or not, they kill them. In fact, they kill their economy. So China, I think, is like a Thanksgiving turkey. It's done. Russia is trying to put a brave face and to try to saber rattle, but to be honest with you, they're not prepared to go to war. They're prepared to defend their positions, but, you know, to be honest with you, they can't deploy and don't have the power to deploy a military or a navy to actually come against the West and America. What I see coming is an economic collapse that's going to force the BRICS nations this year into the next step. And the Middle East, I expect the ISIS and all this conundrum to precipitate, because they've been pushing now for the Temple Mount society to have a Temple Mount situation, is I suspect that they're going to crush ISIS to the point where the Muslim nations will be forced into a situation to accept some form of a caliphate, but it'll be one, in a sense, controlled by the Western bankers and nations.
Well, it already is. My God, they drew the whole map of the Middle East. Come on.
Right, and the caliphate, although they try to pretend they're Muslim and they're controlled, so it's all hogwash. Just like, you know, right now Bahrain has come out. The Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia, and by the way, Saudi Arabia has, the king of Saudi Arabia is against the Muslim Brotherhood, but here's how bad Obama is. He's actually made a statement that if you don't let the Muslim Brotherhood out of prison in Egypt, we're not going to release tanks and aircraft and other missile systems we promised to send.
Oh, yeah.
So here we have the Saudi Arabians and Arab Emirates said, we want to put these Muslim Brotherhood because they're too dangerous. Even my cousin who set up the Muslim Brotherhood, we're against him. And we've actually outlawed the Muslim Brotherhood, and they have been in Egypt because we're killing the Coptic Christian leaders and so on. They met with the federal government, which is basically said we're Egyptians first. In other words, they're acting like a proper Western nation to say, hey, we're just like Americans. We're not Muslims and Christians or whatever. We're Americans. The problem is they don't face the fact that Islam does not mix with other societies. And when it gets over a certain percentage, it always asks for Sharia law and other things. And the extreme elements always start to rise because the powers that be want extreme Islam. That's why we talk about Londonistan. Wahhabist Islam didn't start in Saudi Arabia. It started in London. And what we should start to realize is that the globalists' end game is to get total financial control of the entire world and the BRICS nations, and I think the spiral downward is this year. I think the collapse that's happening, although, you know, Russia's trying to act real tough and all this stuff, Russia and China, these nations are going to buckle. The Western nations are going to crush Europe because they want just, they don't want a collective of nation states. They want a super state, just like we have a super state in America. The states don't have the power of individual nations like in Europe. They want a super state in Europe, and they want the nation states not to have the right to actually either separate or leave. And what I think will come out of it, too, is you're going to also see the incorporation of Turkey. So you'll see a massive increase in number of Muslims in Europe. You'll see...
I don't know. It's 10% in France right now, Bill, and there's right, a movement across Europe. There's a very strong anti-Muslim movement spreading all over Europe.
So they can have all this anti-Muslim they want. The globalists want more Muslims, and they're going to have more Muslims.
Well, that's the way it's been so far.
Once they have Turkey join, because Turkey, you see, is part of the matrix of control of the peace in the Middle East. Once Turkey joins Europe and becomes a major player in Europe, there'll be a massive influx of Muslims, plus just the population. They reproduce more. The Europeans aren't having babies. The Muslims have average family, 2 or 3 wives and 14 children. I mean, this is a state in Israel. The Palestinians in Israel, one man has 3 wives and 14 kids. The average Jew, 1.1 kids. It only takes a generation or two, and they can just baby carriage them out of existence. So where I see things going is, and we don't need to wait long, a decade, and Europe will have a large enough minority of Muslims that their dialogue with the Middle East and their full integration, by the way, with the European Space Agency and our missile defense systems, because the idiots in our federal government and the military thought it was a good idea to integrate our military and our satellite surveillance systems and our GPS with the Europeans,
mm-hmm.
We're going to be fully locked in with these Muslims. And the thing is that people try to say, oh, yeah, all Islam is okay. No. They want the return of the Mahdi, all Islam, and the Mahdi, Isa, is when he returns with the Mahdi, he is to convert every Christian on earth to Islam or to kill them. And that's all Islam, not just some Islam. And people want to say it's only extreme Islam. We have two problems. We have a problem called Islam, and we have a problem called extreme Islam that's being steered by globalists. That's why they want Muslims in all these countries, because they have no-go zones in France and other areas. They want Sharia law. They want areas that are just purely Muslim.
Can you... Now, there'll be enclaves. You're talking about the mini-micro-Balkanization of nation-states with ethnic mini-states, if you will, within them.
Well, they're going to soon grow like a tumor. And the thing is, they grow pretty fast over a decade or two because the level of population and repopulation of these people is pretty horrendous. I mean, we're not talking about small families. We're talking about a man having 2 or 3 wives and having 14 children compared to 1 or 1.1 for Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to all populate them in just a decade or two. Same as here with the Hispanics, used to be doing that. Now, of course, the Hispanics are making mistakes, and up to 60% of the children now are out of wedlock.
Yeah,
83%, 85% of blacks, and now it's up to 25 to 30% of whites.
I got to read something here. This is important. Bring it back home. There's a fast-track program to delegate enormous new power to Obama. The Second Amendment could be impacted. Congress got back to work last week, and within the next month, the congressional GOP leadership is expected to move a bait-and-switch scheme that could seriously impact the Second Amendment. The scheme is called Fast Track. In Fast Track, Congress passes a bill which delegates to Barack Obama the legislative authority to do anything he wants, absolutely anything, so long as he includes it in a free trade or otherwise trade agreement. In this case, the trade agreement is the TPP or TPA, currently being negotiated with 13 Pacific nations. Now, this is not good.
Well, in fact, these were cooking before Christmas. The Transatlantic Partnership, which is European.
Oh, it's been around for a couple of years, in theory.
What happens is they make government, both federal and state government, vestigial. Now, we need to know what vestigial is. Vestigial is like your appendix. You needed an appendix when you're an ancient caveman and you're eating raw meat because the bacteria in your appendix allowed you to eat meat that was not cooked. Now, what happens is you don't need an appendix when you have a Western diet and you're eating food that's been cooked, et cetera, and it's predigested. Well, the problem is that the state and federal governments become vestigial of absolutely no power whatsoever. It's only transnational corporations and the so-called executive figurehead in Washington, D.C., basically that basically says we're going to set policy, or bureaucrats like all these czars and these bureaucrats.
Well, the House passed a spending bill defunding Obama's amnesty plans, so that's interesting.
Well, to be honest with you, I think there's going to be a rupture inside the Republican Party. I don't think that Boehner's going to get away with this, and his very tiny margin. My guess is before the 2016 election, I think you're going to see the emergence of three parties. You're going to see the old guard Republicans basically dying on the vine, and a new party arise coming out of the Tea Party and more aggressive Republicans, and probably even some Democrats that are realizing they're in a dying.
What are we going to call it?
I don't know, but I see something rising out of this by the next election, by 2016 or 2020, that I don't see a two-party system surviving this system, because inside the Republican Party, I don't think people that are there now that have really got themselves, you know, experienced are going to feel like there's any voice for them. Look what happened with Boehner. There's no reason, logical or otherwise, why Boehner should have got a third term as a speaker. And if they don't do something very quickly, here's what I suspect will happen. The dollar is going to soon be equivalent to the euro. We're having all the saber rattling with the Russians. The Middle East is going to blow up. And what will happen is the Strait of Hormuz will be cut off. Mm-hmm. So you won't have oil out of there. All of a sudden, oil prices will whiplash from being extremely low to being right through the ceiling, caused by war and other catastrophes. The economy is not doing good because the desire and the need for oil is so low, and they're pumping oil. For example, the Russians and Iranians, even with a market flush with oil, they're putting out more oil because their market's shrinking. So they're dumping oil on the market.
Well, that's right.
What I see happening is a cataclysmic crash of the world economy this year, a cataclysmic move to make everybody so scared that a nuclear war is going to start, they're willing to make compromises on any front, including peace in the Middle East and the Jews getting their Temple Mount and the Palestinians.
Well, the Al-Aqsa Mosque is going to come down.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's going to be easy to do that. But it doesn't need to come down for it to happen. They can put something near what's called the cupola of spirits, which is outside the Temple.
The
Mosque.
Kind of like
and
what the Mormons
have,
do.
They have a big thing. They can have something like a Tabernacle of Moses. Because it could take years to build an actual temple, but they could start blood sacrifice overnight.
All right, we're out of time here, William. Wrap it up.
What I think is going to happen this year is economic chaos, plagues, Fukushima going crazy, and then people getting really sick. And it's going to be a bad year. It's going to be a very painful year, but it's a fulcrum year where if people don't wake up, the spiral we're heading toward is not war, it is the mark of the beast. A cashless system where the globalists have got absolute control of every nation on earth, including Russia and China. And I think this year is the year where either we pull back from that or we head down the spiral.
Not going to happen.
2018.
Sorry, don't agree. It's going to. I don't think it's going to happen. We're going right down and out the other side.
Exactly. It's going to be a disaster in about four or five years or whatever it takes. Everybody will use biometrics. We'll have a total cashless system.
Well, California cops just signed a contract to use massive biometric databases on the public.
Right.
Massive.
And now they can even draw blood on you. They actually are doing it in Colorado.
I know. It's just unbelievable. Post Orwellian. Yeah. Thank you, Bill.
Well, I don't think Orwell and these other people that wrote these books, they'd be in shock if they saw what was already happening today.
I agree. Thank you, William. Take care. Yeah. Talk to you next week.
Absolutely. As I say, ask better questions is the most important thing.
That's all we can do. Thank you, Bill.
Take care.
Good night. Okay, be right back with Hour 3 in just a couple.